Okay, you guys, everyone wants to know, are you DTF? Down to farm, that is. That's right. Farmer Wants a Wife is back on Fox with four hot new farmers looking for the love of their lives. But are these ladies ready to take on farm life? And you know dating one woman has its challenges, but juggling five? These farmers are gonna have their hands full. Don't miss the all-new season of Farmer Wants a Wife, Thursdays on Fox.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
It is Thompson, Clark. It is almost baseball season, and it is St. Patrick's Day, so I have my Irish whiskey.
Nice.
Here.
Look at that. I used to drink Irish whiskey. Like I would always have Dewars in the house. But now I just have bourbon and scotch. And you can't drink scotch from Scotland on St. Patrick's Day. That would not be correct. So I do have a stout. I poured myself a stout. It's a big fat one though. It's a narwhal. It's not a true Irish stout. It's a narwhal imperial stout from Sierra Nevada Brewing Company.
And there you go.
10%. So I'm going to just sip on it. I'm just going to take it easy.
Back in the day when you were in your single days, was St. Patrick's Day a night to go out to the bars? Like what did, do you remember any of that?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, when I was in Chico hanging out, I think we did that a couple of times in the Bay Area. I don't think I did. I
can remember like once or twice going, but it wasn't a big party day, I don't think. For me,
I like Irish music. So like today, that's what I listen to. I listen to it other times too, but like the Pogues and the Dubliners and Dropkick Murphys, stuff like that. I'll pump that out. So I've been listening to that all day. But no, I don't. My drinking holiday is like 4th of July and my birthday, both in July. So there you go. So I load up on July.
Well, we are still in spring training, but Brad is out next week. So we're going to do our season preview this week. I'll figure out next week. I'm going to see if I can find a guest to do a show with next week. May not be the same time and such because we're working with different schedules, but I'm gonna shoot my shot with a couple of people. And sweet. If not, then we will just take the week off and then we'll come back when Brad is back and we'll do our show whenever he gets back. So, you know, because it is spring, we got to bring back the diabolical Bismarcky. Biz has been so great for us in spring training. I guess we'll get the news and notes out of the way before we do our five questions that you have that will serve as our spring or as our season preview. Jung Hoo Lee, man, woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Like the thing about it is, like he's a young man. Like that's like us, like old guy alley. He's too young to wake up and be like, oh, my back hurts. And then it just not work itself out. Like he still is in the, oh, my back hurts stage from sleeping wrong. What's going on?
Yeah. See, and you got to look at it though. Even though he was born in the 1990s, right? It doesn't necessarily, it was 1998. Right?
Yeah. Barely.
So even though he was born in the 1990s, he's only 26 years old. You cannot be having those kind of back problems. And it's not good for a guy who has the reputation when he came to us last year as a possible injury risk, but it doesn't sound super serious. I mean, they are going to do an MRI. I'm sure I'm sure MRIs were done on, you know, small injuries like this over the years, back before, you know, social media and the interwebs and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And we didn't hear about it, and they do an MRI and everything's good and they move on. So same thing would happen to Bobby Witt Jr. the other day. Took one off the forearm. Yeah, it took one off the forearm when he was in batter's box, and MRI. And it was the day of our fantasy baseball draft. So I thought maybe the guy who was keeping him was going to quickly text me and be like, can I change my keeper? But, you know, Bobby Wood Jr. ended up being fine. And that's the thing, that MRIs are total precautionary. They're just, you know, to take a quick peek, make sure everything's all right.
Yeah. And they still have some time between now and the regular season. So if you got to shut them down, you know, until the season starts, you can go ahead and shut them down. You know, it's kind of like what's going on with Mookie Betts. Have you seen what's going on with Mookie Betts?
Yeah, they flew him. Did they even fly him to Japan and then they flew him back home?
Is that what happened? I didn't see the latest. I read something,
yeah, I thought I heard about, something
like over the weekend about him just being ill.
Yeah, just an illness. Let me see. Because again, we don't sit and study the Dodgers. It's not what we do. But Mookie Betts will not play in the Tokyo series due to an illness. But I don't know if they're flying him back home. It's an illness that caused him to lose around 15 pounds. Jeez.
Yeah. They said like he was like taking ground balls and then taking a knee and needing water. Like,
good. Wow.
He was not having it. Yeah. So the Giants play, the opening day starts with the Giants in 10 days. So they play the Reds in 10 days and, it's coming fast. So, you know, hopefully Lee is better and healthy, and I think it's necessary, or it's important for him to be able to bounce back after last year and the shoulder thing. You know, he of course he wants to have a big season. The Giants put faith in him, and he's may even hit third from what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're putting, you know, yeah, they're putting a lot of eggs in his basket. So hopefully he is going to be okay, and we can really see his value as a player in the second year of his.
Yeah, and as Giants fans, I mean, you know, we didn't get to see him play more than what did he play, 30 something games last year? It was in mid-May where that happened, 30 to 40 games. And he's the type of guy, and Giants fans believe this, and if anybody's going to tell you that they believe it, it's Jung-Hoo Lee. He's a 155-plus game guy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, he's a catalyst in the lineup that wants to be in there every day. So it's a bit concerning, but we're only a couple weeks, you know, a week away. So, and if you're a nut job like us, then opening day is actually today at 3:10.
Yes.
Tomorrow at 3:10 a.m.
in the morning,
Pacific time. And my alarm goes off at 5:30 to get ready for work. So I'll probably catch
maybe the end of it, huh?
Yeah. I think last season I caught the last like inning and a half, two innings of both of those games. It's, you know, obviously it's hard for us. It's a strange thing. You know, when you open up, you know, across the other side of the world, basically, and you have two games that start at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's fine if you live on the East Coast, because you start at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's when most normal people get up. But yeah, that's a hell of a time for us to catch a game. But if you're in Hawaii, right, you get to start at midnight.
There you go.
Stay up till 3 a.m.
And no Bay Bridge series. So the Giants have their first, it's technically called spring training still.
We're called exhibition games, even though it is technically still spring training.
Home game before the season starts, their first game at Oracle is a week from today against the Tigers. And then they play the Tigers back to back, March 24th, March 25th. There's an outside shot that I go to Tuesday's game.
No, right on.
So here's the thing. We have most of my organization is out of the Bay Area. There's only like a handful of us who even live in the Bay Area on my And so we're having something called an offsite, but it's an offsite for like everyone who's not in the Bay Area. We're just going to the office and we're going to do some stuff as a team because, you know, we're a hybrid company. And so one of my colleagues, he lives in the I think he lives in the Tampa area in Florida. And he's like, hey, do you want to go to game on Tuesday night? And I was like, sure. I said, sure. But my brain didn't connect that I'm going to be in the city, be in the ballpark until like 9:30, drive home, get home at like 11:30. And wake up at 7 and do it all over again. Like, because I have to be in the office 3 days in a row. So I was like, oh my God.
Does it take 2 hours to get home?
Yeah, because I have to get to BART. Sometimes it takes less. Usually, if there's no traffic, it's like a 90 minute set between 80 and 90 minutes one way. But getting to BART and sort of figuring out all that stuff and it could be timely, but. It's just like, I'm just going to be so tired. Like, that's going to be the problem, is just being so exhausted because I don't have to go to the office. I don't really have to drive all that much. I just checked my car and I have 2,400 miles on my car and I've had it since last July. So
it's nothing.
I'm putting very little mileage on my car, and then 3 days in a row back to back in the city is going to be tough.
Dude, that's where you save on the warranty. That's where you get the, instead of the 10-year 100,000 or 10-year 120,000 mile warranty, you get the 10-year 80,000 mile warranty, and then you save some money and it come down on price.
Yeah,
and you're going to hit that 10 years way before you hit that. See, now we're getting too old to do the whole close up shop and then open shop the next day. When we go to Disneyland, so we're taking off in a couple of days. When we're there, there are days where we will shut down. We'll open Disneyland, so we'll do rope drop. You're in line at 7 a.m. Then you go back to the hotel midday for about 3 hours, 4 hours, chill out, take a nap, whatever. Go back and close the park. Midnight. And you get up the next day, rope drop again. You got to set the alarm for like 5:30, 6 o'clock. So you're getting 5+ hours of sleep. And that's vacation.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But we don't do that all the time. I'm getting too old for that.
It'll be nice to kind of check the team out live before the season actually starts. And the season starts on the 27th. The Giants are Thursday afternoon game, the 27th in Cincinnati against the Reds. So season is starting quick. So you and I are kind of talking off air about how, whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. We're going to have some predictions. We're going to do some questions here in a second. And I thought about it and I said, usually we're pretty optimistic about the team. We haven't been wrong in the sense that they are generally competitive, until the last few weeks of the season. And then we know that they're probably not going to make the wild card or, in the year that they did in 2021, where they won the whole division. And I kind of wonder, and I wanted to ask you about this, what you thought. There's a very real possibility that record-wise, the Giants are kind of the same as they were last year. Like, if you just look at the overall season, this team versus last year's team, I could see them sort of being the same. But I definitely feel like the Buster Posey regime, you're going to feel better about that season than we have about the last couple of Farhan years, because a lot of what the Farhan years were in the last couple of years was bringing these guys up who were not ready just to use their options because you didn't want to burn someone else's option, and a lack of, for someone like Farhan, who's, very analytic and they have these playbooks about what they want to do and how they want to do it. But from a farm system perspective, it did seem like the process in which you wanted to get these guys ready for the bigs didn't always necessarily seem all that smart. And it feels like the tone and the tenor of this year's season will be kind of back to what we liked about how they treated their prospects and about how they brought in certain vets and how they traded for certain people, like a Cody Ross, when you're like, you know, if you're just to stack up his stats against anybody else, like, yeah, maybe not the best guy, but then you understand how many different positions he can play and how clutch he can be. And they're like, okay, that's actually really smart. Like, you kind of went away from that during the Farhan regime. And I just wonder, do you feel like even if the team doesn't make the wild card this year, that just the idea of getting back to the baseball that we really, really enjoyed, is that, do you think the fans are going to be happier than they have been?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you also have to look at it too, as like you said, this first year of the new regime, first year of Buster Posey as head of baseball operations. So there will be some growing pains, but there is leeway. There's a little bit of runway for this. We can look at it and say, hey, you know, he's just implementing some new things. Stretched out pitchers. Well, that's going to take a couple of seasons, especially through the minor leagues and that that situation, basically, that theory. And again, these are all theories. Like, you know, Buster says, I'd like to see our pitchers go longer. Good theory. We'd like to see it also.
yeah, exactly.
We don't know if it's going to work in this day and age and era of baseball right now. Also, like you said, marinating those minors a little bit, those minor leaguers a little bit more in the minors, just to kind of see what they've got, make them seasoned, so when they come up, they're ready to face big league pitching, they're ready to face you know, just the rigors of being in the major leagues and travel and playing first base. You know, we'll use Bryce Eldridge as an example, playing first base day in and day out. You make an error, you don't bring that back to, you know, up at the plate with you at your next at bat. So we're going to kind of see how things are handled. We've heard less platoons. We've heard, I don't know if we've heard no openers, but I think we've heard less openers, right? But I don't think we've heard no openers. Mm-hmm. So those types of situations, again, all awesome theories for baseball fans like us. Great theories. It's a little bit of throwback baseball to about, you know, turn the dial back to about 10 to 12 years ago. I'm okay with that. But I think most fans have to understand there are going to be growing pains. If the Giants come out of the box and they're 7-7 in their first 14 games, I'm not going to automatically look at this team and go, this is a 500 ball club. That's who they are. That's who they're going to be the rest of the season. No, we need time to see. I would bet at that point the Giants are going to be above 500. They're going to be above 500 ball club because they're starting out with new ideas, new theories, kind of turning the clock back a little bit. And it's going to take some time for guys to get used to that. So I just ask that the fans be patient in that. This is not your Farhan's baseball club. This is Buster Posey's baseball club. This is our baseball club from, you know, 15 years ago. Maybe, and again, with some sprinkled in saber metrics and some different things that are part of new baseball, analytics, everything else. So it's going to be, and like you said earlier, it's going to be fun to watch. I'm not going to be in, you know, God, this is year five or six of Farhan and we're still, because if you have a Farhan team right now and you start 7-7, where is your head going to go? It's going to go to 500 baseball. But I think, again, for me, I think it's going to be a little bit different. I think I'm going to be looking above 500 baseball at that point because I'm going to say we're ahead of schedule. We're building and growing this team to what it should be. But like I said earlier, you and I were texting earlier. I said, this team has got to stay healthy. And of course, we start the show off with Jung-Hoo Lee back news. But this team has to stay healthy because it is not ripe with depth. This team does not have, you can't lose Tyler Fitzgerald and Willie Adames and be like, well, we'll be the same team with Casey Schmidt and Brett Wisely. It's not going to happen. So that's the one thing. This team has to stay healthy. And in order to stay healthy, I think you do need platoons because you got to give guys rest days. You got to keep them healthy. I'm excited. I'm very excited for the season.
All right. Well, let's get to your questions, man. I'm ready. I'm excited. I haven't, you know, because you haven't told me the questions, I haven't had an opportunity to study or anything. So it's just going to be top of mind.
Yeah, I think this is our fourth. The podcast has been going for about 5 years, but I think we started this the second year because the first year we did the podcast, and we're going to go back and try to find our first day. I want to say it was around June of 2020. Could have been May, but we want to go back and take a look at that and just kind of hit that anniversary on social media. We'll talk about it and everything. But so we've been doing this for about four seasons because that first one was really weird with the pandemic.
It was.
It was just, and then the next season, right? Isn't the next season when we had the strike, or was that two? I'm getting so lost. I think maybe that was 2022 was the strike year where we started a little bit late too in the season. But you know, but yeah, that one was weird because the pandemic season, they were ready to go and they had everything in place. And all of a sudden the players union stepped in and said, no, we got to change some things. And then they pushed it out like another 3 weeks. It was just, it was a mess. And then the Dodgers won the World Series, which was fake. None of that counts. So, anyways.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, I've got our five questions. I never tell you each season. I never want to give you a heads up of what these questions are. I love to see you think on air. I have my answers. I've already chosen my answers. So Question number
by
one.
The way, by the way,
yeah.
July 28th, 2020 is our first actual episode. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So we'll try to hit that anniversary. I don't know if that's a Monday this year or a Tuesday, but it'd be fun to do a show on our 5-year anniversary this year. So
it is a Monday. So perfect.
Oh, perfect. Excellent. All right. And I will be in town. Yeah, actually taking a vacation the week before that, so we'll be in town.
All right.
All right, so here is the first question right out of the gate. 87.5 wins is what I've set the over-under at. 87.5. What do you got? We just talked about this team. It's struggles with depth and all of the other good stuff in the first year of Buster Posey. Last year, 80 and 82. The year before that, 81 and 81.
So DraftKings has the Giants. I thought I found it. Okay, I didn't find it. I thought I found their over under. I'm gonna guess. Okay, you have 87.5.
Yeah.
Which means even if they're close, they're probably playoff bound at that point.
Possibly. I got to go back. You know, I didn't look to see what the win teams were last year.
One of the sports books has the Giants at 80.5, which is low.
That's pretty low. I always choose optimism.
Yes. No. Whenever
I make these,
I think if the Giants get to 85 wins, I think they're like right there in the wild card. 87.5, I think they will get there.
So last year, the Braves and Mets got in with 89 wins.
Okay, so the wild card.
Padres were the other wild card with 93. That's the National League.
Okay, I'm going to say under. I'll say under, but man.
You can give me a win total if you want to.
I think they're going to be 81 and 81. Like that's kind of what I feel. That's what I feel. But if they get to 87 or 88 wins, essentially, it hits the over. We're talking like we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
Well, and two American League teams got into the wild card last year with 86 wins.
Okay.
So. You know, right along those lines. I said under, but I said 87 wins. And that's the kumbaya optimistic answer. Guys, stay healthy.
I will be so happy.
Performance wise, this team is awesome. And we're going to go into some performers, pitching, some offense. We're going to kind of look at both of these in the next predictions coming up for the last four here. All right, so I got me at under at 87, you under at 81. All right, last year, Jordan Hicks, Justin Verlander, Robbie Ray combined for 44 starts. Right. I have set the over-under for those three combined at 65.5 starts. What do you think?
Over-under. 65.5 would mean they're right about 22 starts apiece.
Yeah. A couple guys getting one or two more in there.
I'm taking the over. Because I think, so my calculus here is Verlander, like, I don't know what he believes as far as his future and a future contract. I'm assuming he probably believes like he's just signing 1-year deals until his shoulder falls off.
Well, until he gets those 300 wins. Yeah.
Right. But he seems to very much be in like a prove it year. Like in order for him to get to what you're talking about, 300 wins or even to get close, he's got to prove to himself that it's not falling apart and that he can still compete. So I think that alone means that he's he knows what his role is. It's to be an anchor. It's to be the vet. It's to show the savviness, the guile for the younger pitchers to see, to watch him do his thing. I think he's going to have a really strong year. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be like it was, what, 3 years ago when he was like the Cy Young in the National League, or 2 years ago, whenever that was. Like, he was dirty that year at 39 years old or whatever he was. So then it comes down to Robbie Ray and Jordan Hicks. And you know what's funny? I have less faith in the young guy than I have in the two old guys.
Yeah, but he did have 20 starts last year.
Yes, but the tricky thing with Jordan Hicks is the Giants could always go, okay, this is not working, we're going to put you back in as a reliever. Because that's what they did at the tail end of the season last year. And it wasn't because it didn't work. It was just because they were trying to save him a little bit because he was really tired.
Yeah.
But I'm taking over. I think they will clear that number. And I think the one person, again, that has me most worried is actually the youngest guy, not the old guy. Because Robbie Ray, again, it's like a prove it year for him. He's got to like bounce back and show teams. He's, you know, whether or not he becomes trade bait at some point, because, you know, the Giants are looking to go younger there. If he pitches lights out and the Giants are not competing, he's probably setting himself up to play for a pretty good playoff team. And I think that's in the calculus as well. But if the Giants are competing, then he's, you know, showing out and having a very valuable season for a winning team here. So I think there's nothing but good stuff in Robbie Ray's future, as long as he can, you know, keep it together. But yeah, I think over. I don't know what the number is. Because did you want us to pick numbers?
Yeah, if you want to pick a number, it'd be a good tiebreaker.
Okay.
Because I think last year we ended up, because so far we I'm just going to tell you, so far we both chose the under for wins, and we both chose the over for combined starts of Hicks, Verlander, and Ray.
I'll go with 70.
That was the number floating around in my head, and I ended up settling on 68.
Okay. So you had 68 and I had 70. Cool.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yes.
This one is this one's intriguing. Over under saves for Ryan Walker. I put us at 30.5. Zips has him at 28.
30.5.
Camilo Doval breathing down his neck.
Right.
And Ryan Walker having never closed an entire season before.
And it looks like, at least coming out of the gate, that Melvin is still going to have Tyler Rogers as the eighth inning guy.
That's as of now, yeah.
And so we might see Duvall actually get multiple innings.
Yeah.
Which will be interesting to see how he deals with that. I'm going to be... I've read some stuff about Ryan Walker this year that makes me really excited for him.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that worries me a little bit is being anointed as the guy, right? Like, there's extra pressure on being the guy coming out of the spring than you just being thrown into the ninth inning because the guy in front of you was not doing well.
Like, right. And September, right?
Right.
Late August, early September.
But everything that I've read about Ryan Walker, the only thing I don't really know about him is just kind of like disposition, because the way that he has the throws across his body and the way he hides the ball, it's really hard for these guys to pick up. I'm going to say over. So you said the number's 30.5?
30.5 and Zips, pretty much everybody, all of those prediction, you know, analytic companies have him right around 28, 27.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets...
And I said 30.5. We're at 30.5.
Okay, what were the saves leaders last year? So saves leaders for the MLB in... let's see. How come I cannot find this? Oh, because it says 2025. Okay, for 2024, Ryan Helsley led the league with 49. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers had over 30 saves. Clay Holmes had exactly 30. So Ryan Walker would have to be in the upper 25, 30% of all of baseball if we were just looking at last year. Kirby Yates had 33, Iglesias 34, Josh Hader signed big money, had 34, 3.80 ERA. Class A had 47 with a 0.61 ERA. Even Finnegan in Washington had 38.
Yeah, exactly.
How many games did they even win?
38. No, they were actually a pretty decent team last year.
Okay, I'm saying 32. I go 32 for Ryan Walker.
Okay, we are so close on pretty much everything. We've been doing this show way too long together. I went with the over. I was nudging towards 40 when I first started doing this, but then I was like, but then the Giants have to be like a 90 plus win team. So I settled on 33.
Okay.
So I also went with the over. So we're right on. You and I are right on. So we are going to have a tiebreaker. It's going to be, we're not going to do the prices right. We're not going to do the, you know, tiebreaker closest to the number without going over. We're just going to go closest to the number. We're going to deal with that when the season ends. All right, here's another fun one. Guy we talk about, guy everybody talks about, and hasn't played for a while because he's got a bum wrist. But we're going to talk about Bryce Eldridge now, right? We're going to go over under games played in the majors this season for Bryce Eldridge. I'm setting the over under at 49.5.
Okay, so repeat this one again to me so I know that I understand.
Bryce Eldridge,
yes.
Games played in the major leagues in 2025. Over under set at 49.5 games.
So that means he's more than just a September call up. He's probably right up in July.
Or has a stint for a month.
And then goes back down and comes back.
Doesn't
up.
Cut it, gets, you know, if in a month gets 20 games, maybe. And then comes back up in September.
I'm going to say under, and this is more of a hopeful under, because if he doesn't come up, that probably means Lamont Wade has a pretty decent season. And at that point, the Giants are competing with his pretty decent season, or he gets traded, you know, at some point later in the season. And then that would mean, you know, late July, August, and September are the only months in which Eldridge plays. So I'm gonna be in the teens with him. I'm gonna say September call up and like 13 games.
Okay. Wow. All right. You and I are way off on this one. So this is the first time we've been way off. You say under 49.5 games at 13. I say over 49.5 games at 54.
Brad, over. Wow.
And that's because that 50, I think
54 is a lot of games.
I think he comes up. I think he's ready mid-July, maybe late July. Giants make a trade, make room for him to play first base going forward. And maybe he's the reason they get to 87 wins.
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go. Again, totally optimistic. I want something to root for this season. I'm going to print this out when we're done, and I'm going to stick it on my wall so I can look at that daily and see how close we are.
All right.
All right. You ready for number five?
Yes.
The last one. All right. This is why I keep throwing this one in every year, and I keep hoping we're going to be somewhere close to, you know, get better and better and better at this, but we're getting incrementally better. We took a step back in 2023 and then we got a little bit better in 2024. Can you guess what category I'm going to talk about?
No, I actually have no idea.
My favorite category in Major League
Baseball. Stolen bases.
Stolen bases. Here we go. On bringing it back, stolen bases. All right. Over under stolen bases for the team this year, I have set it at 80.5.
Okay.
In 2021, the Giants stole 66 bases. In 2022, they stole 64 bases. 2023, step back, they stole 57 bases. Last year in 2024, they stole 68 bases. So I'm at 80.5 over under on that.
Okay, just to give people some a little bit of context here. So those same Kyle Finnegan-led Washington Nationals stole 223 bases last year.
Look at that, man.
They led the league.
So you're saying it's possible.
Well, the Brewers, who used to be the team that housed one Willie Adames,
yes,
217 stolen bases, and the Reds, 207.
Yes.
Now, where are the Giants, you ask? They're at 68. They were second to last, only to the Minnesota Twins. Okay, so who did they add? Well, they added Adames. Hopefully they will have Jung-Hoo Lee, though when we saw Jung-Hoo Lee, he wasn't really all that adept at stealing bags. He was a little bit more adept at getting picked off.
Now, remember, different regime.
Yes.
Different ideas of what to do on the base paths. They've already said that they want to be a little more aggressive on the bases, but play smart baseball. Take extra opportunities when those opportunities are seen. So ball in the dirt, not necessarily a pass ball, but you can read a ball in the dirt. You can, you know, maybe do a little bit better in deciphering analytics on a pitcher's move and take advantage of those, take some more chances. I think there'd probably be more chances this year.
All right. So
you need 12, you need 13 more stolen bases to get the over on that this year.
So if we think about what their lineup is going to be like, so Lamont Wade, nope, he's not stealing any bases.
No.
Willie Adames, he will steal a few. Jung-Hoo Lee, I am going to guess that he will still steal a few bases too. Then we go to Matt Chapman. He had a pretty decent year for attempting to steal bags. So good for him. Ramos doesn't run. Yastrzemski doesn't really run. Matos doesn't really run. Encarnacion doesn't really run. And so that obviously Patrick Bailey doesn't really run. So what are we might be banking on?
Don't forget about Fitzy.
Well, this is who we might be banking on, is if Fitzy gets on base enough to steal bags, he may steal some bags. And some of this may be, you know, if the Giants are not in contention late in the season and all of a sudden you see a Grant McCray up, then you're like, oh, he could possibly steal some bags. Oh, man, can they find 12 more? I almost feel like they can fall into 12 more based off what we saw last year. Can they fall into 12 more bags? That is literally like a half of a stolen base a week.
Patrick Bailey will get you 2-3 double steal, back end of a double steal.
You know what?
Maybe have more double steals.
I'm going 85.
85. Okay. Yep. Perfect. All right. Again, we're close here. So over 85 for Garrett. You're going to love mine, because you know how much I love stolen bases.
Yes. Did you get to 100? I went
over 95.
Oh, wow.
I went 95. I almost set the over-under at 90, and I thought, you know what? Let's not get too aggressive. I know we have some young guys. I think Matos, I think if they teach him right, he can get you 5. Ramos can get you five, maybe. Again, I'm talking back end of double steals. I'm not talking straight steals from these guys, you know, with two outs and you got a runner at first base and it's Elliot Ramos. I don't think that's the guy that's going to be taken off for you. But still, I think this team can get to 95. I think Fitzgerald, if Fitzgerald gets on, I think he can get you 30, right? Then you got Lee can get you 20. That's 50. And then I think Adames can get you 20. That's 70. How many did Chapman have last year?
Was he in the 20s? Little Matt Chapman stolen bases. Chapman had 15. He had 15 last year.
All right, so now you're at 85 right there.
You know what's interesting about his stolen bases last year is he stole 15 bags last year, and he's only had 26 stolen bases for his entire career in the regular season.
Yeah, I think he found something last year, and I think that and you know how it is. These guys are going to have to make things happen on the bases from time to time. And I think that's what Melvin and Buster want. So,
yeah,
Haruku thinks we're nuts unless Fitz goes crazy. He doesn't know that we are nuts. That's the thing.
Yeah, we are nuts. Really? We are nuts. We absolutely are nuts. But you know what? Haruku's nuts as well. Has he seen his own comments? He is very nuts. He's nuts like we are nuts.
Hey, man. You know what Giants fan, you know what fan is short for? It's for fanatic. It's short for fanatics. So that's just what we are, man.
All right. So you had the wins over under. So does your over under number of 87... does that mean playoffs, or does that mean they're on the cusp and they don't quite get there?
I think it's on the cusp this year because you're still dealing with San Diego. You're still dealing with Arizona. You got the Mets. You got the Dodgers. You got Philly. You got a lot of teams that can get to 89-plus wins, 89 to 95 wins in there. Playoff of wild card teams. So I think that's what the Giants run into in this situation. So I don't think 87 gets you into the playoffs. And I could put that on the list, but I think you and I both agree that in order for this to be a playoff team this year, the Giants have to win more than 87 games. They've got to have things go wrong in Philly. They got to have things go wrong. I don't think things are going to go wrong in Arizona this year. I think more than likely things would go wrong in San Diego because you have an older team. You've got a pitching staff that is also getting older. Their closer is good. Suarez is good, but he's also touch and go. He also walks a lot. He's erratic. So I think if anything, you'd need Philly and you'd need San Diego to falter. There are going to be other teams fighting. Washington's, I mean, we joke about Washington, but they're going to be a better team this year than they were last year. Last year, what did they end up with? I don't know how many wins they ended up with, but they are going to be a better team. So that's going to be the hard part. Here we go. National League last year, Washington 71 and 91, but I still think that they're going to be closer to a 500 ball club. Brewers, they're going to win that division. Well, the Cubs, and see, that's the thing. Now you've got the Brewers at 93 wins last year, the Cubs at 83 wins last year, and they are a much better team this season on paper.
How did the Dodgers only win 98 games?
I know. They had the pitching woes, remember? And then you get into the playoffs, and they were basically just, you know, cobbling guys' arms together to get through that, and they did because they had the offense. And you have a guy like Freddie Freeman who could hit a grand slam in the ninth inning to win a ball game. So that's what you run into.
I saw an over under number for them this year at 103.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
That's crazy.
Is outrageous. I've never seen that before.
That's amazing. So, okay, let's look at it from two perspectives.
Yeah.
One is the optimistic perspective, and one is a little bit more of the reality perspective. Let's say that they're competing for the wild card.
Yeah.
And you're Buster Posey, and you're like a game or two out. You know, we're getting deeper into the season. We're in August. Giants pitching is holding up. They have some young players producing, and they kind of need that one bat. They have some pieces to be able to make a trade. But at the same time, they probably think that they have more pieces to trade away for younger players than they do, you know, to bring in money, right? And yeah. I saw this, I think McCovey Chronicles had a good piece on, you know, if Robbie Ray is good, he actually becomes a really good trade piece for you rather than, you know, what do you want to see from what's the best Robbie Ray season? Does he all of a sudden become a great trade piece so that you get a good prospect, right? Like that was kind of the thesis that they were writing.
But I think his deal, though, doesn't it make it difficult because he opted.
He's got 2 years, right?
Yeah. So he's due $25 million next year. $25 million. And again, if he has a good year, that's great.
Yeah. What if you're the Yankees and you have Garrett, you're missing your ace and you're like, my gosh, we're hanging in there. We just need, you know, someone to pitch some innings for us.
The Giants would have to eat some of that money though, because he's going to be 34 in 2026, making $25 million, which again, when you look at numbers from around,
I don't know. Did you see what Max Fried got? Yeah,
exactly. I'm right. Yeah. So, I mean, $25 million is probably in 2026. That's probably a bargain.
Yeah.
Do you think the Giants do, you know, bad business by trading Verlander if he's good at the All-Star or at the trade deadline? And deadline this year, they set it for the actual trade deadline, which it should be every year, July 31st. So I'm glad that they did that.
If you ship him to a contending team, I mean, I think he'd
be happy.
I don't know. Like, he has
to the Astros.
Does he have? Yeah,
he keeps getting traded to the Astros.
Well, yeah. If the Astros are good, he'd probably be okay with that. But
yeah, see, Haruku said he has a no trade clause, but those can be waived.
Yeah, it's up to. It just becomes up to him. It becomes up to who he wants to go to. So yeah, I think they, you know, Verlander, Robbie Ray, if they have really solid seasons, and the Giants are kind of, but you know, honestly, so my question was more about Buster Posey's mentality here. Buster Posey knows that you just need to get in and you have a chance.
You're right.
So would Buster Posey, knowing that mentality as a first time head of baseball ops guy, would he go, you know what? What if Brian Sabian didn't go all in for us in 2010? You know, what if he decided that, you know, maybe if we trade off a piece, we'll be better suited for the future? I just kind of wonder what Buster Posey would think, because that was always the thing that, you know, Farhan pulled the trigger on Chris Bryant. We did get Chris Bryant in 2021. But last year, they got nobody. Like, they were selling off guys. Alex Cobb. You remember when Alex Cobb got traded?
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder.
We got Mark Canha. Don't forget.
Yeah, we did. Great. The great. You forgot great to put the Mark great Canha in front of him. Yeah,
put that in there.
But do you think that matters? Like, does Buster Posey, having been on three teams, well, two of those teams, because the 2012 team, you know, they had a really good regular season, but
But that's also the Hunter Pence year. That's the year they went out and got Hunter Pence. And without Hunter Pence, you don't win in 2012.
So I kind of wonder what he thinks about that whole thing, because he has a connection to what it means to be given a chance to go out there, and all of a sudden you're playing tournament baseball.
Yeah.
And Farhan, as the baseball ops guy, he's kind of looking at the numbers and looking at the chances and the possibilities, and maybe being a little bit less of a go for it kind of guy, but Buster knows what it's like. So I kind of those are the things that I want to see, which is why I want them to be competitive. I want them to, you know, be in the mix for that third wild card to see what Buster does. You know, does at that point you're like, oh, now we have to trade James Tibbs to go and get, you know, whomever the best guy out there is to put in the middle of the lineup. I mean, I'm projecting, obviously, but those are kind of the decisions that he's going to have to. Because if he has to make that decision, I think that means the Giants are having a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. And Buster did say in his press conference when he was, you know, named head of baseball operations, that they are in the business of creating memories. And he knows that winning championships creates memories for families, in the Bay Area, Giants fans all over the country. I think Buster knows if you've got that chance to go for it, you go for it. And he didn't build, a scouting department to not pull the trigger on something like this. I think he has to have faith in his scouting department to say, look, we can make these deals and then we can also get guys in the draft and make up for that. So I think if there is somebody out there that he thinks can push them into the playoffs, I think Buster Posey versus Farhan is going to do that. I think he's going to make that move. Buster Posey is the baseball version of Austin Powers' gold member. He loves gold, right? he loves championships. He wants those. He wants those trophies, man. He wants more trophies. He doesn't want just three at Oracle Park when you go up into the club level and you're walking around and you see those three trophies. He wants a fourth, and he wants it under
How amazing would it be? So Posey retires after 2021.
Right.
So 22, 23, 24. Sorry. So next year is his first year of eligibility for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably thinking like, what if I add another trophy as a head of baseball ops before
four. He's got four going into it.
That would be a Buster flex.
And then when do they call him to the Hall and they say, here's, you know, this is when it is. It's during the All-Star break. And he's like, yeah, I'm in the middle of going for a fifth, so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't make it.
So Haruku had a question, and he said,
yeah.
Manasian is the same as Farhan. Is Posey really calling the shots? Posey's calling the shots for sure.
Yeah, he's calling the shots.
And the one exception is that, you know, the front office is like, okay, let's dial it back a little bit because, you know, we kind of went after it and we maybe made some deals last year. Now, one of those deals, Haruka's least favorite players, Matt Chapman, turned into somebody that you kept around, right? And the other one was Blake Snell. We talked about Blake Snell last year, and Blake Snell was not someone you kept around. So in one sense, spending that money the way that they did, you got Matt Chapman out of it for several years. Soler didn't work out. Blake Snell didn't work out. And so they dialed it back a little bit. Now, I kind of get frustrated because I'm like, what market are we in? Like, why are we dialing it back when all these other teams are just spending out of their rear ends? But, Buster's working with what he is told or what the owners are saying. And but those type of like player versus just executive decisions are what fascinates me about him being in this role. Now, in some instances, like you have all the analytic guys going like, the hell is Buster Posey in this position? Like, what does he add of value? Well, the value that he adds is he's kind of been there before. So when you're kind of making these hedge kind of things, you're like, well, as a player, this is what worked and this is what didn't work. So we'll see. This season is going to be a nice... one of the narratives of this season, I should say, that'll be nice for us is to just see how Posey deals with being the person in charge.
I think ownership was a little, they got a little PTSD, right? They said, go for it last year, spend some money, get in there. But again, these weren't like, these weren't November go for it and spend some money. This was March go for it and spend some money, right? Yeah, spend money 1 year, not 5 years, mm-hmm. spend money 1 year. And it got them an 80 and 82 ball club.
Yeah.
So I think they have a little PTSD. I think it's going to take some time. I think they trust Buster. Obviously they put him in that position. He wanted the position. They put him in that position. But I think it's a show me. I think it's a show me year. Let's see what you can do with the money that we're giving you now. And then we'll talk again at the beginning of next year. And which I understand, because again, they went over the luxury tax, which they didn't necessarily want to do, but they thought this will get us into the playoffs and get us some playoff games. It did not. So a little bit of apprehension on their part, I think, this season, but I don't see how that can't open up. I have not read Susan Slusser's article about the Giants getting into becoming more of a real estate investment club than a baseball club. So I'm going to read that. Again, these are all comments with having not read that article yet, but I will read that in the Chronicle and kind of see where we're at on that as well.
All right. So you and I will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And like I mentioned, I will figure out what we're doing for next week. And, you know, if you want to do a little bit of recruiting or scouting, not recruiting, scouting, Dodgers and Cubs, 3 a.m. for us.
I'm just going to record it and I'm going to throw it on in the background at work tomorrow so I can kind of, you know, watch some baseball. But
do you think this, like, should these games count? These teams are like playing 2 weeks ahead of everybody else. Should they actually count?
They should not.
I don't think so either.
No. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. It's a week in advance of opening day, 10 days in advance of opening day.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm fine with it. I like the London series in the middle of, when is that, July, August?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
I like that. I don't like opening the season. If they're gonna open the season, go do it like 5 days before the mm-hmm. season starts, not a full week plus.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to make up for the travel, because the bodies, yeah, and the time zones and stuff. And so I get,
but it's not like you have to. I mean, it's Japan. You don't have to go there to create buzz for Major League Baseball. It's already there. So
you know what though? Those fans are so crazy for Ohtani right now.
They are.
It's incredible.
I heard what was an article I read that they, one of the players, I think Justin Turner, commented and he compared him to the Beatles, and I was like, wow. I'm a huge Beatles fan, so I was like, wow, that's kind of a big deal.
So, yeah,
but apparently he's on every billboard, every commercial. Yeah. I mean, you go to Japan,
I saw Blake Snell was like in 7-Eleven and he was like taking video of like the giant Ohtani advertisement in the 7-Eleven or something.
It's good stuff. Yeah. I hope Blake Snell gets a booger the size of an AirPod.
Yeah, just or just like a giant corn on his like big toe. The dragging foot when he pitches, it just like bothers him all year long.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have fun at Disneyland with the family, and we'll hear back. I'm sure you'll keep me updated on how everything's going. And
I'll send you some sweet pics of my beer, because that's what I'm going to be doing in DCA. Having some
and
beer,
take photos of people who are possibly wearing Giants hats at Disneyland.
I'm bringing my Giants Mickey shirt, so I'll wear that one day. But it's hard to find, but I'll find some. I do see a lot of Ohtani jerseys, obviously, there.
Yeah, of course.
Way too many. Too many.
Of course. All right. So we'll be back at some point next week, I hope. I'm very hopeful of that. I will try to make that happen. Try and get somebody on with me. But otherwise, thank you to Haruku, who was in the chat hanging out with us. And for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
From a fast break to recovery, Indiana hospitals are here for every Hoosier, regardless of their ability to pay. That's why we're teaming up with legislators on a winning playbook to lower costs and protect access to care across our communities. Because good policy doesn't leave anyone on the sidelines. Learn more at HoosierLifeline.com.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.